Better turn it off.
E B F N.
What? Oh.
Oh yeah, Buenos just put out chips. It's the Evidence-Based Fiction Network Radio.
Hi, we are in luck today. We've got Ray Lafarge on the line. He is editor, as you probably know, of Vicarious Living magazine. And we'll talk to him about what's up with Vicarious Living. What's hot? And what some of the trends are. Ray, thanks for talking to us from our studios.
Thank you for having me on your show. I've heard a lot of good things about it from your listeners.
First of all, I'm noticing arts coverage in Vicarious Living is absolutely tremendous. Do you see the arts as central to the mission of Vicarious Living?
Arts coverage in Vicarious Living is a centerpiece of our publication. Our critics have told me. I've been told that Plato's original parable of the cave discussed vicarious living. I have not read the piece, but I've heard it summarized in detail.
Kind of what I wondered. Almost like there's a pre-history to vicarious living that's been with us for quite a while. Could you comment on that?
Arts coverage in Vicarious Living begins with theater coverage. For example, in a recent show, I can't remember the name, but I've been told that people act out the part of large cats. Many, many cats on stage. Chances are, these are not real cats, but actors playing, living, if you will, vicariously through the role. Our critics cover these shows and describe them to you in enough detail that you will feel you've been there.
Ray, I'd like to know this new section in Vicarious Living, Employers and You. What is going to be going on in that feature, and what can we look forward to in future issues regarding employment and Vicarious Living?
Employment and You. Our writers have told me Employment and You tackles modern vicarious living through the eyes of employees. Hearing an employee describe their job, making you feel as though you've done the job, much as I feel doing the job of editor of Vicarious Living, most of which I have reassigned to other writers. In our upcoming August issue, I've been told we will hear from an employee who heard from a friend of his about a very dangerous job full of adventure.
This upcoming feature piece, I'm very excited about, Vicarious Holidays. What can we expect from that project?
We say, I've been told, at Vicarious Living, the best holiday is a vicarious holiday. Better to hear about the holiday from a close relative or from a friend of a close relative. Better to hear about the holiday than be there firsthand.
Ray, a question about sports. I think in a lot of our listeners' minds, sports is maybe sports and travel. We'll talk about a little later, but sports is probably foremost on people's minds who are people who live vicariously. And how does the magazine tackle sports? There are these shows about sports. That's certainly a step in the right direction. But I wonder if we couldn't go a little further and hear how the magazine might take on these shows about sports, told to us secondhand, maybe at work or at church or out at the shopping center, where somebody will say, you know, I saw on Sports Wrap-Up the other night, blah, blah, blah. Ray, can we take it beyond that even? And look to Vicarious Living for something more vicarious than even a scenario like that.
It's not an exaggeration to say that modern vicarious living began with sports. From player to spectator, of sports news programs. Vicarious Living covers the talk about sports programs and gives it to you second and third hand, the way most of our readers, or should I say, most of the people who talk to people who have met our readers, like to get their sports.
Ray, how did you get into Vicarious Living? How did the magazine start? And just the whole topic of vicarious living, what about it appealed to you? I know your slogan, the magazine slogan, is why do it yourself? In fact, why do it at all? And that's a wonderful sentiment, I think. But I'd like to kind of know more, I guess, from a personal point of view. What brought Ray LaFarge into the world of vicarious living?
Why do it yourself? In fact, why do it at all? The motto at Vicarious Living. I became interested in vicarious living as a response, a critical response to the how-to movement, the DIY movement. We often use the phrase at Vicarious Living, DIY, don't do it yourself. The owners of Vicarious Living, Joe and Mary Jo Janet Martinique, two, I have heard, very interesting and wealthy patrons of other publications, were interested in producing a magazine on Vicarious Living. They wanted very little oversight of the editorial process, leaving it primarily in the hands of a Ray Lafarge, say moi. I've heard the Martiniques are a wonderful couple. We have not met. I've been shown a few pictures and seen their Facebook page. I once received a letter written by their attorney congratulating me on the editorial work, most of which I have farmed out. Some to India and Georgia.
Ray, the subject of video games comes up a lot in terms of Vicarious Living. What future trends, if I can put it in that way, video games are already kind of futuristic, it seems to me, but what future trends do you see in the video game world that fit with the lifestyle of the reader of Vicarious Living?
Digital media, video games. I heard an interesting story the other day. A plumber was doing some work at my home. He told me a story about his nephew, obsessed with a YouTube program about video games. And on this program, a man plays video games, and you watch him play those video games from the comfort, typically, of your bedroom. The plumber had not seen this YouTube show, but had heard about it firsthand. Firsthand Vicarious Living is the finest in Vicarious Living. Secondhand Vicarious Living is even finer.
Ray, kind of a side question. I've interviewed you in the past, and we haven't gotten into this, but how did your voice get to sound so, I mean, I don't want to say funny, but squeaky, well, that's not the right word either, but you have an unusual voice. How did it get to that condition? Or how did your voice get to sound so, I'm trying to think of something, trying to be polite here, but how did your voice get to sound so effed up?
My voice, I grew up near the largest glue factory in Weehawken. The fumes and the glue residue created a thick film around the inside of my oral cavity and pharynx. Quick speech has not been my forte. Since I was a lad, Inwiehocken.
What about daily life? Will that ever enter into the world of vicarious living? And I'm thinking here of things like, getting rid of your garbage, taking out the newspaper, feeding the cat, putting the dog out. Oh, what else? Going for a walk, getting the oil changed in your car. Just kind of daily things. What's your thought on the future of vicarious living in terms of just everyday mundane types of things?
Daily living does not have to be excluded from vicarious living. Vicarious living is not the domain of the wealthy. I've heard we stress this in the magazine, Vicarious Living. I personally have not seen the last few issues, preferring instead to hear about them second or preferably third hand from our readers. I enjoy living vicariously through the smallest of daily chores, hearing perhaps of someone having their neighbor feed their cat for them, or someone tell me of a simple bowl of soup that a waitress brought to a friend of theirs at a restaurant they had not been to. Vicariously enjoying the soup. More than actual soup. Wouldn't you rather hear about someone taking out their garbage than taking out your garbage? Think about it.
Ray, a couple questions from listeners who are currently listening, but they've written to us. And the first question is Mary, and she asks, Ray, I like to do things. I like to get out there and do things, be active, and just do everything. Do it all myself. What am I missing? And Ray has actually asked me to answer these questions for him. He's kind of given me the gist of an answer, but he wants me to say, this is Ray talking. What I like to tell people when I get this question is there's a way to look at Vicarious Living magazine as doing something. And I know that seems ironic, but when you read the magazine, there is a way. There's a sense in which you are actually doing something. And so, Mary, for people like you, I do think Vicarious Living magazine has something to offer. Ray, there was a very touching piece in Vicarious Living a couple months back, and it was called So You've Decided to Talk to Someone Who Has Kids. This piece really touch me to the heart as a fan of Vicarious Living. Did you get any other reactions to this piece?
As I mentioned earlier, I haven't seen the last few issues of Vicarious Living. Hearing of this piece from a reader touched me to the heart also. I was told the piece is called So You've Decided to Talk to Someone About Their Kids. No one likes children. But hearing of their antics second or third hand. Their missteps. Their bone mows. Can give you an enjoyable time. Living vicariously through a third hand recounting of the children's joy.
Now, of course, and we're getting a little short on time here, but my favorite section of vicarious living is, and I think a lot of people, is your vacation coverage. What makes that feature so popular with readers of vicarious living? At one point, it seemed as though the vacation feature almost carried the magazine. It was such a large feature. It's a little smaller now. That's not a criticism. That's just kind of an observation of as a reader of vicarious living over the years. But what makes the vacation section really the kind of the crown jewel of vicarious living?
Vacation coverage is the tombstone. No, the capstone of vicarious living. Travel to Greece, travel to Seattle, travel to Spain, and you will find yourself and your loved ones miserably unhappy for days, if not weeks. Stuck in lines, stuck in airports. These vacation experiences are magically transformed when vicariously experienced through the misery of another. A trip to Spain, told by a friend about a friend who was mugged, is a treasure and will bring you joy through repeated tellings.
Ray, this has been wonderful, and I hope to speak to someone who has talked to you very soon in the future. Thanks again, Ray. Okay, check, 1, 2. Check, 1, 2. Lafarge, is he's off, right? He's off the air. Is he out of the studio? Make sure he's out of the studio, because I'm just getting in, and I don't like doing this kind of stuff face-to-face. I wanted the listeners to get a little more background on these Martinique people, Joe and Mary Jo Janet Martinique. Well, we've been doing a little background work on them, and this isn't the kind of thing I do, where I spring things on people. Especially not on Ray Lafarge. He sounds a little easily rattled to me, frankly. And I didn't want to spring that on him, this on him. I didn't want to spring this on him because I don't do that kind of shocky journalism. But our calls to the Martiniques to find out more about them, more about their background, their thinking on vicarious living, and our calls have not been answered, and I want you to know why. They're busy. Now, let's put two and two together on this. If they're busy, what are they doing? Well, we don't know, but the point is they're doing something. And they're doing it themselves. That's the point. They're not living vicariously. They're out doing something. And my guess, knowing people of that type, they're probably skiing or jet parasailing, some kind of sport you've never even heard of. They're traveling. They're definitely in different countries all the time. And the other thing, I'd be wouldn't be at all surprised at if he's a really good cook. And he's probably out there every night sitting in the kitchen cooking up something himself. Cooking himself. So, not that there's anything wrong with this, but it's not the image that I think the Martiniques want to present of themselves. But as I said, our calls are going unanswered, and with the response, they're very busy. Who's very busy if they're living vicariously? That takes some amount of time, but the point of living vicariously is you can always put it down. Anyway, if we hear from these Martiniques, you'll be the first to know. We'll get them on. I'm sure they'll come in themselves. I was actually kind of surprised Ray Lafarge allowed himself to be interviewed, because I kind of thought he'd have somebody else do that and tell us what he said, which that might have been even better, because I don't think his voice carries well on radio, but that is Ray Lafarge, I guess. You get what you pay for.
Sorry. Suck up. EBFN Radio is written and produced by Eric Belgum. www.ebfn.org.